Radio Tygerberg 104 FM. Ons verkondig Christus.
Dr. Caroline Leaf, always such a privilege to be able to talk to you and you sharing what you've learned over so many years, imparting into our lives so that we can be better versions of ourselves. Firstly, thank you very much for having us.
Oh my goodness, thank you. I appreciate that. It's always nice to get feedback. Yeah. I'm here to help people, so hopefully it's working.
I'm excited because there's new material.
Yes.
That you've worked for a long time. Is it 40 years?
On 40 years I've been in this field and it's in all different studies and always new books coming out. So there's a new one coming out, as you know.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of different, we did a huge research study a couple of years ago where we were looking qualitatively at exactly what people do, what the healing journey looks like. Mm. And you saw that in the talk now, you saw the little summary slide of that whole thing. But that's been great to be able to tell someone who's going on a journey of healing, you know, they're dealing with trauma or, you know, something that's happened or just a bad habit that you're trying to change, to know that there's actually ups and downs and how you, because if we can predict something, we can change it. We're not thrown off when, because so often now in the current way that mental health is handled, if someone has a bad day and they think, oh my gosh, my sickness is coming back.
Mm.
And I'm trying to tell people they're not sick. They're just humans going through life and there's a journey and there's ups and downs.
So I would like you to explain to our listeners the mind and the brain, because I think we all are completely confused. And we all think that the brain is the mind. But you explained it so beautifully and so simply that any person can understand that.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, because that is, you know, I'm coming against a 50-year kind of linguistic challenge, because people have for the last 50 years, they've been collapsed. Prior to that, in the 80s and back before that, for thousands of years, we've always distinguished between the mind and the brain. And with the biomedical model and learning more about the brain and neuroscience, people kind of collapsed that and became very neurocentric, which means brain, 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 brain. So suddenly now, this is your brain on this, and this is your brain on that, and your brain makes you do this. And if you get depression, there's a chemical imbalance in your brain, or there's a genetic code that's causing this, and or a genetic malfunction or something. And that's taken the hope away from people. So people think then that if that's the case, then what do I do? Is there anything I can do? If it's biological, the emphasis on the biological has taken people's power away. And that's totally, and it's not even science. And that's what really gets myself and my colleagues, is it's not even accurate science. The accurate science, not that the brain research is not accurate science, but that philosophy, that way of explaining. So the brain is just a physical organ, and the body's a physical organ. They're both physical. We need them. We need to look after them. Because they do something important, they actually host the mind. So they are hosts. They're not generators. They just literally do what the brain tells it to do. Yeah. The brain can't think. Memory is not just stored in the brain. It's stored in the brain and every part of your body. So you've even got memory in your fingertips. Mm. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
So if someone's got something like a neurological disease, like Parkinson's or something, or they've had a traumatic brain injury, sure, the brain gets damaged, but so does the body. It's not just the brain.
Sure.
But the biggest thing is our mind. And I've seen with people that have had neurological diseases and had traumatic brain injuries, I've worked with them, I've done the research. When you help someone to manage their mind and understand the power of mind, mind is the thing that changes the brain. Mm-hmm. So the brain can be changed and the body can be changed. So the brain and body are only 1% of who we are.
Sure.
They feel like 100% because we live through our nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
We experience through our nervous system, we experience through our body. But that's why we've got to get perspective. And I try and help people get perspective. Mind is 99. That's your spirit, it's your soul, it's your who you are, it's your power, your wisdom, your intelligence, your perception, different levels of the mind. You've got the conscious mind that's awake when you're awake. And that's kind of messy because it's dealing with the ups and downs of life. It's like a toddler. Always explains like a toddler.
That's so good.
That needs a parent. And then as soon as the toddler listens to the parent, suddenly the parent has all this wisdom. And wisdom is actually in the depths of our non-conscious, N-O-N. So the mind's got these levels, spirit, soul levels, okay?
Yeah.
So the conscious mind is awake when we're awake. It's kind of slow, but it's very smart. It does thinking, feeling, and choosing. But it needs, as I said, it's like a toddler. It's learning, it's hungry, it's excited, it's up, it's down. It's so that we have to tap into the wisdom of our non-conscious. And that's where all the answers are, where the non-conscious finds the problems and tells us the problems and gives us the answers. And as we develop our intuition and insight, we tap into that wisdom of the non-conscious mind. So it's powerful. And what we do, what's happening currently, is that we're so caught up in how we the thoughts that are in our conscious
now,
like now, this moment, this 63 seconds, and how it makes me and my body feel. And there's so much emphasis in the wellness industry on let's look at how your body feels, let's talk about how you feel, what are your thoughts going through your head now. So it's taking people into just the conscious moment, and then bypassing the depths of the non-conscious. So we're getting stuck in a cycle of just 1% and a little bit of tapping into the mind. And that gets people stuck in patterns where they feel hopeless and even more depressed, and they think, well, this is an illness, I can't do anything about it. But if you just take that lens off and you say, okay, that's just one tiny perspective that you're looking at now. It's a 1% with a teeny bit of mind attached. But if you go a little deeper and you catch that moment and you catch the reaction and you get hold of the 63 seconds, and you get a little bit of Help in a Hurry, which is the name of my new book. If you know how to recognize the 63 seconds, you can then start self-regulating this conscious reaction and this body reaction, and you can kind of distance yourself from it, and that enables you to dive deep into your insight, your intuition, your wisdom, which is connected to the source of wisdom. And that takes a bit of time and a bit of training.
Yes.
It's called mind management, but you can teach. It's what we are. We're designed to learn that. When we learn that, we function better as humans.
When I looked at the title of your book, I was like, no ways. There's no way that help can be in a hurry. Because everything in life at the moment is instant and it happens now, and we want answers right now.
Yes.
So I want you to explain to our listeners, because when you think about the mental health and all of that, there's a process that takes place for healing to happen.
Yes.
But yeah, the book title is Help in a Hurry. Why?
I'm so glad you picked that up, because I'm playing with the whole...
That threw me away. I'm like, I don't know, doctor.
Exactly. Because there's no quick fix, and you've heard me say that because you've heard me speak before, you've interviewed me before. Mm-hmm. There is no quick fix. I'm not talking about a quick fix. I'm talking about giving people help in a hurry to get their mind under control. So what we see from research is the first 63 seconds is so critical in how you're going to react in the long term. And so if you can learn to manage the 63 seconds, and that's where the help in the hurry concept comes, where it's like creating a gap, it's creating a pause, it's creating a moment where instead of just getting sucked into that conscious physical reaction, you can step back and step into your wisdom. And it just takes 60 seconds. That's where the help in the hurry concept comes in. But the work still is long. That's why I talk about the healing journey, where we started this interview. If you're going to change a pattern, that's going to take 63 days minimum. There's a whole cycle. But you can't change what you don't know. And you also can't just create awareness. Like I explained a few moments ago, you can't just create this awareness and bring thoughts and emotions up and then, now what do? I feel terrible. I feel even worse. Let me take a drug. Let me take a Band-Aid of some sort to push that horrible feeling away. What I'm telling people is that in the moment that you feel completely overwhelmed, this is how you create a pause in your life. This is how you get the red and the orange before you go green in the traffic light. This is the gaps that we need to create. And the science shows in those 63 seconds, you can influence how a pathway is going to be wired into the mind-brain-body network, which is your psychoneurobiology. And that's really critical. So, for example, let's say you're in a meeting and someone says something and works you up. And
I was going to ask you exactly that question.
And how do we implement it? And you want to, it could be with your kids, it could be with your spouse, it could be with a friend. Someone says something and your immediate thing is, how could they? You feel hurt, you feel frustrated, you feel irritated, you feel angry. And the immediate thing is our facial expression change, our body changes, and things heart rate goes up. So we get stuck in the moment. So I'm saying this help in a hurry is, okay, if I stay in that moment, I'm going to snap, snarl, get angry, punch them in the face, write the nasty email, send the wrong text, switch off, withdraw, disassociate. I'm going to do something that's not going to be healthy for me or that person or that situation. I'm not going to have wisdom. I'm going to say and do the wrong thing. And then I'm going to have to pay the price after that. So what do? I can, in 63 seconds, I can step back. And the book has got all kinds of techniques. So, for example, let's say someone's made you angry. Just by doing breathing is one of the things. But first, what's most important is to always honor how you feel in that moment. That is absolutely critical. So there's no judgment. You are a human responding to a situation. It's not who you are. It's what you're experiencing in that moment. So it's to really stand back and observe that and say, okay, you feel really upset and really hurt by what X person said to you. You're justified. I mean, what they said was potentially wrong. So there's an acknowledgement and an honoring. And then there's a mind shift. So that's basically an awareness. Mm. And then you go, then you move into a mind shift. But before you shift your mind, you need to calm down your neurophysiology. So by acknowledging and honoring and not just trying to push it away, you feel heard. You hear yourself. And we often don't listen to ourselves.
Absolutely.
We don't spend enough time really tuning into ourselves, because we're people pleasers and all kinds of things. You acknowledge yourself. So you just, it kind of just releases a whole different psychological plane, and it opens the door to wisdom. Then you need to calm down the neurophysiology, which can throw you off. So your heartbeat and the red flushed face or whatever it may be. And that's where things like breathing help. They do help. But it's there's another component to breathing. Not just breathe into whatever count you want to breathe in. It's to remember that oxygen is a molecule, but it carries energy. What energy does it carry? It carries your thought. So your thought is energy. It's a vibration. It's a packet of vibrational energy. Nothing weird. That's how cell phones work. It's how all electronic media work. But we have a specific, unique way as humans that we package all of our mind experiences as these little packets of energy. So if I'm thinking, this person, they're driving me crazy, and all these memories of why they've done this in the past, that comes up very fast because our brain and mind and body work so fast. Our psychoneurobiology is fast. It comes up very fast. So that burst from in our unconscious, we can either grab that attached with wisdom. So I can either grab that and say, okay, this is coming up. This is what happened in the past. But if I react like this, so there's some logic and wisdom. Or I can say, oh, I'm just going to get mad. Whatever I choose is going to have a certain type of energy. One is like a beautiful ray, beautiful cloud that's all pink and fluffy. The other one's a storm. And they carry different types of energy. So the same message will either, that you, as you breathe, you're either going to put a rain cloud on the molecule of oxygen or you're going to put a fluffy pink cloud. I'm just giving analogies. And that's what you breathe in. So two levels are happening here. By me honoring my anger and sort of talking it out, I get control, I reduce the impact. By then recognizing as I'm going to breathe, as I'm going to go into a little mind hack, I'm going to breathe, I'm going to make sure that my that the energy I attach to the oxygen is the correct energy. So instead of saying, oh, I hate that person, it's, okay, they irritated me, but there's a reason I'll get through this. There's very two different patterns, two different types of energy. One's a rain cloud, one's a pink fluffy cloud. And then I would basically take a deep breath, something like sip breathing, and then as you breathe and you can't breathe anymore, you take one more sip. So it's, and that, you can actually feel it. You get almost high. But what you've done is you've taken in the correct mindset if you've done what I've just described. So it's honor, which shifts the energy cloud. Then I breathe, which means I take the correct energy plus the correct energy attached to the correct, you know, to the, I use my oxygen correctly. Otherwise, I breathe mess. I make my physiology worse. If I breathe in anger, I get more angry. If I breathe in peace, I get more peace. And then, at that point, you can do a mind shift. Now, that sounds like a lot. But it's 60 seconds. I can spend 10 seconds focusing on, it's okay, I honor this, you feel jealous, it's okay, jealousy is not a bad thing, it's information, whatever it is. You can do that in 10 seconds. That didn't even take me 10 seconds to explain. Then I can do my sip breathing knowing that, okay, I'm going to attach the right mindset, sip breathing 10 seconds. And then I can spend 10 seconds on, then that leaves me about 30 seconds to do a mind shift. And that is, okay, that person's having a bad day. Or they're not. But they're coming from somewhere. They've obviously, that may not be true, but there may be something I could learn from that. So I don't have to agree, but what in there is something that could be a truth? You know, that kind of thing. That's wisdom. And you will learn something. All of that can be done in 60 seconds. So the book is filled with those kinds of situations. People-pleasing, anger outbursts, black and white thinking, all that sort of thing.
What inspired you to write the book? Well, besides that, we all need it. But is there something personal?
I think what really inspired it was the years of working with my patients. I did this. And this is one of the biggest questions people ask me at conferences and emails that we get and direct messaging. And what do I do in that moment when I'm angry? And we had so many. So we'd sent out a survey and we found basically about 78, it was about 25 areas, but we reduced it down to 18 main areas. So it was based on clinical experience, research, and then also knowing in my own life that, and just talking to friends and family, that this is really a problem. I mean, I could see myself, if I don't catch that 63 seconds, I'm not going to control the rest of the conversation, whatever it is, very well.
You mentioned earlier on every 10 seconds something happens, and it's every 63 seconds that we can actually do something about it. So during the day, there's lots of 63 seconds. And it's not every 63 seconds that we need to take that thought captive. Is it just because there's certain things that happens in our day that we then take 63 seconds to regulate ourselves? Yeah.
So basically, very good question. Very insightful question, by the way. So essentially, I'm not going to ask you to sit there. Okay, 63 seconds.
Yeah.
That's not what you're doing. Yeah. What we're talking about is self-regulating every thought. And we have a lot of thoughts, so it requires training. So it's living a very self-regulated life. So, like, I'm very aware now of what I'm saying to you and how I'm saying it to you. Living a self-regulated life means that with my husband or with my kids or with my work team that work for me, how am I connecting and responding? So I'm watching myself all the time. I've trained myself to watch myself.
Oh,
so there
amazing.
The email comes in, or there the, and I'll get mad.
Yeah.
But then I catch it because I know that 63 seconds, there's 10 seconds, whatever. There's a lot of different levels of mathematics and physics that's happening there. But essentially, we are very able to, 10 seconds goes like that. What the research shows is that more or less every 60 seconds we can actually direct the neuroplasticity. You can do it quicker too. And I say 63 because I've shown in my research it takes 63 days to build a new habit, not 21.
Yeah.
So I'm playing on the numbers. So it's a little bit of, it's around a minute. Around 60 to 63 seconds is the moment is the time we need to change. Mm. How it works in real life is you learn to be more self-regulated. If I'm aware, eventually you get to the point where you actually are watching yourself and you also catch yourself. So you find yourself, and you stop yourself mid-sentence or mid-argument or mid-anger outburst or mid-email. Like, let me not send that yet. Let me just stand back.
Be mindful.
It's even more than mindful.
Really?
Because mindful is being aware of the moment. This is self-regulated.
Okay.
So I'm not just going to be aware. Research also shows if we're just mindful, we don't actually do anything. Mindfulness creates more, it can create more toxicity and more chaos.
Sure.
Because now all this stuff comes up.
Yeah,
now
yeah,
what?
Yeah, yeah.
Now I'm going to burst all that on top of them too. It's like vomit out everything.
Sure.
This way it's, okay, be mindful, which is part of that neurophysiological response. Mindfulness basically works on the brain and the body and the conscious mind. But the next thing, we are going to that self-regulation. I'm tapping into the, I've got those elements, but I'm adding on the non-conscious, which is the biggest, most wise part. That's the part we want to tap into. So it's living a self-regulated life. It's learning how to, I wake up, I see that, read that email, I'm getting mad. Oop, catch myself. Snap at the kids, catch myself. Snap at my husband, snap, catch myself. Get irritated in traffic, catch.
Yeah.
So it's just it takes you 63 days to learn how to manage the 63 seconds.
Yeah, I was going to ask
literally.
You how long did it take you?
About 63 days.
63 days.
And it's life-changing. You live, you become different. People notice. People, you come out and you are beautiful. That releases, we get lost in these messy moments.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We can actually release ourselves more effectively.
It reminds me so much of Colton Dixon's song that he sang earlier on, which is called In Spite of Me, and that's one way to showcase Christ living within us.
Exactly.
When we have these tools.
Absolutely. We're supposed to capture every thought and renew our mind, not the thoughts we feel like, every thought. So if my argument has always been as a scientist, if we suppose, because do you know that every religion, every spiritual book, every ancient philosophy have all spoken about bring all thoughts into captivity? That's the way the Bible says it. But in ancient philosophy and every religion, it is regulate the moment. That is what, not just be mindful of it, regulate it. Big difference. And so it's a concept that's it's part of our humanity.
Yeah.
But it's something that we've lost in the busyness of life.
Yeah, we have.
So we want to get that back again.
Thank you so very much. You're an absolute inspiration. Last question is, who should get the book?
Everyone. Seriously. This is for
absolutely.
Your kids. This is for your work colleagues. This is not male book, female book, kid book, parent book.
Yeah.
This is everyone.
Thank you once again for your time. For all of your time that you placed into these materials so that we could be better people and better versions of ourselves.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And it's so lovely having another interview with you.
Yay!
And that you're a fellow South African.
Yay! Thank you.
Radio Tygerberg 104 FM, die Christenstem van Suid-Afrika.